Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you so much for checking out another episode of the show. Today's features, Cody Perkins of Magnificent Mullets of Lonedale. I had a great time meeting up with Cody, talking about some of his stories, talking about some brand new music, including the debut of a song called Get Stoned. And for happily debuting here today on 420, seems appropriate. And you can catch Cody and the rest of the band headlining at Litton Lost Canabash in St. Clair, Missouri, Lost Hill Lakes. And come on out there to celebrate today with them and have a good time. You can find more from Magnificent Mullets of Lonedale on your Facebook and Instagram and all your streaming platforms, so check it out. Do want to remind you, as always, Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Friendship Brewing Company in Wentzville, Missouri, serving up all your craft beer needs. Over 25 rotating taps over there, all kinds of tasty beverages. You got your delicious eats. You got burgers, nachos, flatbread pizzas, and pretzels, and salads, and whatnot. And you can come out there and have a great time. And you can catch some live music on Saturday, 420. You got Buddy Entwistle at the Wentzville location. And on Sunday, the 21st, April 21st, catch Robbie Burt out there. And, you know, a little bit ago, they opened up the second location in Flint Hill, Missouri. Same great beer out there, but all new dining experience out of the Fly High Kitchen. And you can come out there and see Fireside Duo on April 20th, Saturday night. And be sure to get plugged in with them on the socials and friendshipbrewingcompany.com for everything else. You get your full beer menu, concert calendar, food menu, and everything else there. So, yeah, get out and support local and have a great time out at Friendship Brewing Company. If you need anything from me, you can always find me, rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the socials. Email me, rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. And with that out of the way, sit back, relax, enjoy this brand new episode with Cody Perkins.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Cody Perkins, and you are listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Water making its way down south. Catfish swimming with a big large mouth. Rednecks fishing off an all-whale boat. They'd walk on water but their boots don't float. Get to the shore and their strides all strange. Bluegrass music with a Midwest twang. Knees bent wide, stance neck half cock. Doing that Merrimack River mud walk. All choppy from a big boat fleet. There's an all-wheeled army on Arrowhead Beach. Catfish frying in a cast iron pan. Every goddamn person's got a farmer's tan. Get to the shore and their strides all straight. strange bluegrass music with a Midwest twang. Knees bent wide, stands neck half cocked, doing that Merrimack River mud walk. Shallow, gotta give it full throttle. Drink a half a bottle, and the live well's full. Sun's getting low, but the fish are still biting. Me and the old lady's fighting, 'cause she wanna go home. Snapping turtle stepping, crickets are cricking, frog landing's popping. Snapping turtle stepping, crickets are cricking, frog landing's popping, and the moon's full. Oh, muddy water making its way down south, catfish swimming with a big large mouth, rednecks fishing off an all-well boat. They'd walk on water, but their boots don't float. Get to the shore and their stride's all strange, bluegrass music with a Midwest twang. Knees bent wide, stance neck half cocked, doing that Merrimack River mud walk. That river mud walk.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Cody Perkins.
How you doing, everybody?
Welcome to the show, man.
Nice to be sitting with you, Shane.
Yeah, absolutely. This is I feel like a long time coming, man. I've been aware of you for quite a while, just through our mutual friends and the circle we run in and stuff, but we haven't actually ever sat down and talked like this. I've seen you around some various shows and stuff sometimes, but I think this is our first time properly meeting and then, like I said, getting to know each other a little bit better. So it's kind of what's fun about this show for me is allows me to kind of get these opportunities like this, you know, inside of a loud bar. We could sit down here in the basement and talk for a little while and talk about what you've been up to.
Well, you pulled me out from under my rock.
Yeah.
It's usually where I stay.
All right.
I've been doing the whole life thing, loving being a dad. It's pretty much my prerogative.
Yeah. You got one or two?
I have two boys and a daughter.
Yeah.
You got a 4, 6, and 11.
That'll keep you busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very busy, very happy.
Yeah, man. I don't have any children of my own yet, but we're working on that. We're trying to. I was listening to the Honeydew with y'all. The Honeydew with y'all is a Patreon show that he does. But anyway, this it's Ryan Sickler, is one of my favorite comics and podcasters, and he had Bert Kreischer on today. And, I don't even have children of my own, but I was like getting in my feels about it, like listening to him talk about it. Like it was more about him being an empty nester now that his, one daughter's already gone to college and the other one's like 6 months away from going to college or something. So, so he's getting, all these feels about that his girls are growing up and stuff. And he started, and he's like, I just wish I could go back and do things over, I'm just like, there's certain things where he was like working too much. So he tells people like,
you know, hey, you be, you know, you only got 18 years of them as kids, like, be sure to enjoy it. And so I was like, damn, dude, like, you know, again, I'm not even there yet. I'm already like feeling all that pressure kind of thing, like that, you know.
It's scary to think about.
Yeah.
Just a couple of days ago, my 6-year-old was born.
Yeah.
I remember that like it was yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
And now my youngest is full paragraphs. He's got his own personality. He knows what he wants. He knows how to count. It's, I don't want to think about him leaving, man.
Why are you doing that? Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It's, 6 years is fast. Yeah. 18 is probably not much slower.
Right. Yeah. It happens quick. And Ryan was saying that, you know, he's, separated from his daughter's mother, so he's like, well, I only get half of that time, you know, and like, and I'm already halfway there, and it's like, so he's thinking like, I've only got like 4.5 years still with her, or like at home kind of thing. And but yeah, I don't know, so it was like, it was pretty heavy conversation, and that's kind of what that show does. But like, you know, like I said, it just like, you know, kind of resonated. Even though I don't have kids, like I still think about like the being there, and I'm eating all my buddies that do have kids, like yourself, like, you know, you think about it, does happen quick.
I'm told to kind of not think that they're just going to be little miniature versions of me, but if they're anything like me, I never left home. Right. My mom's my best friend. We grew up together. I try to see her, or at least talk to her once a day.
Yeah.
I'm constantly at the farm in Lonedale.
Sure.
Every chance I get, even if I just stop in to say, hey, bye. Yeah. I just came to steal some leftovers out of the fridge. I can't imagine it'll be too much difference. I really hope they get out there to see the world and chase their dreams and stuff. But granddad really nailed it into me that we're very blessed to have the land that we have. A lot of hard work and sacrifice went into making sure that we kept it. And my kids are the 6th generation. I'm the oldest of 5. The 3 oldest of us have kids. I've got 2 nieces from my sister and a nephew from my brother. And it's fairly often that all of us are there. I don't know how my mom cooks that much food.
Yeah.
And somehow there's almost always leftovers. There's always something to eat.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that change.
Sure. Yeah. What's your favorite thing mom cooks?
What's my favorite thing my mom cooks?
Yeah. Like when you think about that
home potato salad with apples in it.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, man. It's like the perfect consistency. She'll like put ice on them or something, or put them in the fridge after she's done boiling them so they don't all fall apart. And then every once in a while you hit like a real crisp apple in there. And it's just, there's something special about it. And my dad cooks the best pork steak in the world. I don't care if you're from Memphis, Tennessee, or where you're from, man. My dad can out barbecue you.
Yeah.
It's like probably 4 times a week. It'll be snowing outside and he'll have the grill fired up.
Oh, yeah.
He used to use the big smoker and stuff. He's got some nice ones, but man, he is a champion on the Weber. It is just outstanding. And he'll be out there for like a couple hours and then you won't even realize what he's done. You pop open the oven and there's just a huge plate of perfectly cooked meat.
I'm coming over, man.
I'm about to go right now. What time is it?
Yeah.
Dad, fire up the grill.
Come on, Dad. I don't know. I was just thinking about like what, if you're thinking about that home cooked meal, like what's on the table and stuff, but that sounds pretty good to me, man.
Well, we kind of figured out a way to take the cheapest stuff and make it taste like the best stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
It just works.
Yeah. I was listening, you know, I didn't really grow up on a family farm kind of thing, like kind of like to that extent, but definitely, grew up country, and I had my neighbors were my cousins, like, and we're always hanging around each other for years and years. Like, it was our, we had a road, and my grandparents lived at the top of the road there. So, like, they were always, you know, I'd walk up the street and hang with them and stuff. So we were very close to quite a bit of my family. And
where was that at?
Wentzville.
That's not far.
Yeah, that's where I've lived out there all my life. And
there's a lot of good farmland and woods out there.
For sure. Yeah, I mean,
well, great woods.
Yeah.
The woods up there are phenomenal.
All right. They're getting fewer, though. Like, that's for sure. Like, it.
Man, I was going somewhere in Fenton, like behind the bluffs, and I pull into this subdivision that can't have been 5 years old. And I'm just looking around like, they really tore this ravine out and this whole holler.
Yeah.
And just made these houses here. And I'm like, dude, quit making people or something. Like, right? quit moving out to the country. And I tell people, like, move out to the country and buy a piece of land. And then I'm like, but leave the land.
Yeah, sure. Like,
you're tearing the land out and putting down concrete. That just, you ain't going to be in a small town if everybody moves to the small town.
All right.
Some people are city people. I've spent some time in the city recently, and yeah, I can't say I like it. right. There have been some very pleasant times. It's just, if I get lost in the woods, I'm not lost. You know, if I get lost in the city, I start freaking out. Like, which way is north?
Yeah.
Like, I should be able to look at the sky and know where north is. I look up at the sky and I see more buildings. It just kind of, it don't feel right.
Right. Is that where, on that farm and stuff, is that where music found you, or was it a generational thing with playing music too, or?
No, not really. Granddad always talked about how he had a banjo and he was real excited about having this banjo and he was trying to play it. And then my mom wanted to learn how to play guitar. So he actually traded his banjo for that electric guitar right there that she keeps telling me to give her back.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think it's safer here.
Yeah.
He just never got into it. He was a welder and he was an artist. He'd make all kinds of cool sculptures out of like shovels and stuff. So, like, for instance, he shows me this pile of stuff. He's like, I'm going to make a wood splitter out of that. I'm like, you could definitely make a wood splitter out of that. I'm like, it'll take a while. He's like, nah, it'll be done when you get up in the morning. And it was. He was splitting wood when I walked up there to get on the bus. Like, he was ready to go. And that was what I did for fun, was chase him around and all the crazy shit that he was doing. And it was just, I didn't realize that everybody else was living an entirely different life. I just thought that that's how the world was. So now that I've gotten out and experienced the city and stuff, it just blows my mind how different people are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the, not necessarily values, because most people have a similar moral compass of what's right and wrong, but like, the way that they express affection and anger and just accomplishing such a simple goal as building something. Like, I'll go for the quickest, easiest way just because that's how my mechanical mind works. I'm like, there's already something that's similar and we can just modify it. And I end up with some MacGyvered thing with like wire holding it together and some duct tape, and somebody else is out there crafting some beautiful thing out of wood. They both function. I'd like to know how they're making their thing, but I'm just like a, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and don't over engineer everything, because it's just like, it's accomplishing the same goal. Sure. You don't really have to. What was the craziest thing you guys used to do for fun up there?
I mean, I don't know. We just, some of the probably more unique ways of entertaining ourselves was, especially in the winter, we would we call it a car hooding, and we got behind Dad's pickup truck and with like a ski rope and a old Cadillac car hood, and Dad mounted these handles to it along with the ski rope, and we would like I said, we had this long gravel driveway and then a big like circle kind of cul-de-sac at the end, and Dad would be ripping it down the driveway about 40 miles an hour or something like that, whatever. And then he'd cut that wheel and fishtail around, and we'd all go slinging off the end of that rope. And
we called that one extreme sledding.
Yeah.
The funnest was behind a quad. You get a real small car hood, like off of a Honda Civic or something.
Right.
And we'd like weld a hook on it so that you can get a chain on there real nice.
Well, the Cadillac worked well because it had like that rolled up some. So you had like more of like an actual like sled front to it.
We used like old GMC C10 hoods and stuff. I think the best one that we ever had was an old refrigerator. It was round on the sides and the top and the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And we put like a little baby bed mattress in there. And we've got these terraces in the field. And we get this, it was a Honda Rancher. It was a decent sized utility bike. I mean, it would go like 65 miles an hour, but you can't really sled like that, you know,
right.
Because you'd get going fast and, you know, you'd turn it like a 45 degree angle and it starts to get that sling on it.
Right.
And then you cut the wheel and just go a little bit faster. And then they're going way faster than you are. Right. So if you're looking down and you're going 45, 50 miles an hour, you know that they're hitting 70 and they're like, just the G forces that you get off that thing. It was like you had to tie yourself into it, but you didn't want to.
Right.
Because if you started rolling, you'd get hurt. Well, we had my cousin Jonathan on this thing, and we hit one of those terraces. It was a big spot too. Like we were getting 10, 20 feet of air if you hit it right, like way too much. We're teenagers, you know. Our bodies aren't indestructible, but we thought we were.
Right.
And I look back and he is so high up in the air that you couldn't stand on each other's shoulders and touch him. And he's there and the sled starts moving out from under him. And he's just like stiff as a board. It's going out of the air. And he landed right on the edge of that thing. And it was like, it was all like rigid metal, but he wasn't on the mattress anymore. And then it slid out and he just kind of stayed there on the ground. He's like, that was such a cool sound. Just to watch him again, we were scared. We were like, oh my God, he just fell. He fell like 15 foot, 20 foot. He was so high up in the air.
Yeah.
And luckily there was some grass down there.
Break his fall. Yeah. Yeah. I did, we were doing that, like I said, the car hood in one time, and then like Dad ripped it and I flew off. And I rolled through like sticker bush, and then luckily a tree stopped me. I remember like crawling up out of the, you know, like this ditch and like covered in thorns, and I'm just like, I'm done. I'm going home. I'm going, you know, crawled up in the house and got some hot chocolate and called it a day.
There's always something about dragging or riding something.
Yeah,
that's
for
where
sure.
We always seem to get hurt.
Yeah.
I've climbed so high and I don't think I've ever got hurt falling.
Yeah.
But like, you know, those three wheeled, you push the baby in a stroller and it's got like the bicycle wheels on it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I flipped one all around inside out and stuff, took all the guts out of it and just made like this flat, three wheeled platform. I put this car seat in it and I was trying to ride it down the driveway, and there wasn't snowing or nothing. It was just the gravel driveway and I couldn't really get speed. And I'm like, Dad, pull me on the bike. And he's like, no, like I pestered him for hours. And finally he's like, all right. And I'm like, just pedal as hard and as fast as you can. And he did. But somehow I flipped over. And he was like, he was really into it. He was just pedaling as hard as he could. And he thought that like, he's like, oh man, I'm really getting somewhere. You know, there's some resistance. Like, well, I was upside down. I was strapped into it. He's straight. I'm like, stop. I had so much gravel in my chest. For some reason, I didn't have a shirt on because it was summertime.
Right.
But You know, I never did learn that lesson. Like, most of the time that I hit the ground and got hurt, I wasn't wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
You ever been to Moonlight?
No.
It's like this ATV park off of, I think it's like Highway A or something. I don't even remember what town it's in.
Yeah.
But it's like 300 to 800 acres of just crazy hills and stuff. They'll go rock climbing in Jeeps and rock climbing rigs and stuff.
Yeah.
Get the ATVs out there. Right at the opening, there's this tabletop. It's probably like 10 foot tall. It's a jump on both sides, but it's real narrow. It's probably only like 3 or 4 foot across, and it's like 60 or 70 foot long. And there's a telephone pole next to it that's got like the Dusk to Dawn light on it. And that's like the one spot you can really see in the dark. Well, we had been getting more and more courageous on these bikes all day. That's just how it is. You see somebody pull something off, you're like, I can do that. And like, I could do it bigger and better. And then all of a sudden, everybody's getting hurt.
All right.
Well, I took this. It's a Honda Rancher. It's a utility bike. It's not made for this kind of stuff. And somehow, either I convinced myself or somebody else convinced me that it would be a good idea to take that thing in fifth gear. And I bid this big loop, man. I'm like, whack, back, back, back. Like, it's really getting it. And I hit the jump. But just hitting the bottom of the jump smacked my face off of the handlebars. So I'm up in the air over that telephone pole thinking, this was the worst mistake I've ever made in my life. I can't even breathe. I already hit it. And now I'm like, I'm watching the ground get closer and closer. And I don't think I'm going to land on top of it. And somehow I did, but it was my face that hit. It's like my ass hit, and then it was like a slingshot. Boom. There go. If I hadn't been wearing a helmet, man, I would have been hurt. But somehow I managed to live through that one. Yeah. I've watched my brother almost die a couple times being crazy. He had this big like a big 125, like a two stroke,
yeah.
like a real motocross bike, one of the big ones. This thing, he can ride a wheelie on anything, but he'd be riding a wheelie and it'd be throwing rooster tails. We're like, you won't ride a wheelie across the field? And he's like, the whole field, yes I will. And he's just like in top gear, he's just like getting it back, back, back. Well, there was some grass growed up, and there was a like a ramp you drive your car up on to work on it. Just kind of like hanging out there, hidden.
All right.
Well, he hit that full speed, and all you hear is bing, 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 bing. And you hear that sound, you know something's not cool. Well, start running to him. He's still up in the air. He lands flat on his back. And I've watched him stick a shifter off of a mini bike completely up in his leg, and then pull it out, and all the meat come out. And he's like, he's telling everybody, he's like, it's fine, it's fine, it'll go back in. He's like stuffing the meat back in his leg. My mom's throwing up. He's like, it doesn't even hurt. It's fine, it's fine. But this time he says, I think I broke my back, don't move me. And we were like, bro, he's actually hurt. Like, yeah. He'll never. He's like, oh, I'm fine. Clearly broken. But, I'm surprised we didn't get hurt until we were adults.
All right.
Like, we would have demolition derbies on the farm. We've had a couple. And the first one, we had no boundaries. And all we did was knock the glass out and weld the door shut. So we're going like 45, 50 miles an hour, just T-boning each other. And like, nobody got hurt. But man, I got rear-ended on the road. They were probably going like 60 and I was at a dead stop. And the difference between getting hit rear-ended going 45 or 50 and 60 apparently is very different.
All right.
And also being not a teenager anymore.
Yeah, all right.
Because my back still hurts from that. I don't know how we survived all the crazy shit we did on the farm, though.
Yeah, we did a lot of dumb shit once we got old enough to start driving. And I had a 88 Crown Vic station wagon. It was my first car with wood panels. And a friend of mine found this big rat, like Halloween decoration, and I mounted it to my duct taped it to my hood ornament on it, and like drove around with that thing hanging out, and everybody was like, definitely some head turner, you know, like
that's cool.
And but we used to like, I mean, I would jump in hills and, you know, flying down back roads with my lights off in the, you know, middle of the night and just
Dude, I used to run from the cops a lot.
Yeah.
Like I had a 1985 Pioneer Parisian with a 315 to 400 turbo, spray painted flatback with 22 inch low pro Panther rims on it. I mean, this thing was nice. It had all the chrome all the way around it. It had the fender skirts on it to where like half that wheel was just disappearing off into it. And the dashboard only went to 85, but it would hit 85 halfway through second gear. And then you had third and overdrive still. And it was pulling the whole time. I never knew how fast it would go. But those old boats, you know exactly how it is. Like you hit a little dip in the road and it starts going that direction. You feel it all moving in the body. I would like roast Mustangs.
Yeah.
I just had open headers on. You could hear me coming from a mile away. I mean, this thing was mean. And I'd always have a big bag of weed on me. And kids back in those days, you get in trouble for it. Like you get in some serious trouble for it. So I'd see a cop and they're like, hey, there's that Perkins kid. like, bye. You just turn your lights off. I trust the back roads. Yeah, I know. Sure. So I just hold it to the floor and zip down all these back roads and stuff. And you'd be like, oh, this jump's coming up. But if I slow down, they'll see my brake lights. You can't. Right. You can't touch your brake lights. You can't know, let them know if you made a left or a right. So you just hit it. And I mean, running from the cops on a new moon was sketchy.
Yeah.
It was so sketchy. Now don't even try.
Yeah.
Don't even try. They got chargers and stuff, man.
Yeah. We used to do all kinds of that dumb shit. But it was fun. Well, I think that's an appropriate time. Maybe we drop in a tune. Obviously, based off a true story from some of these stories, we got a tune called, Backwoods that I really like a lot. And, this is one you can find readily available on all your favorite streaming platforms. This is from Magnificent Mullets of Lonedale, which is, Cody's band with, Ryan Kemp. And
love Ryan.
Yeah. So Ryan's been on the show and we kind of introduced a little bit of what you guys were working on. But what do you want to tell me about Backwoods? What's this song mean to you?
So Backwoods was really it was me and Kyle Ray messing around in my garage studio that he had set up. And he just had this really cool beat and he's like, hey man, check this out. And I'm looking at him like, and then this chorus hits me and we sit there and write it off. And then we had all kinds of serious music that we were really trying to pursue. And I'm just like, nah, this is where it's at right now.
Yeah.
And, he has great vision and, it really, really, I'd really like to do more like poppy hip hop sounding stuff, but I'm not the best at coming up with it. I'm like good at the words and the hooks and like I can do the beatbox and stuff, but he knows how to do all the like 808 sounds and like how to hit that. And we really put that one together pretty quick.
Yeah.
I did have one specific message in there. You don't leave no neighbors on the side of the road. Like if you see somebody in need of help and you're capable of helping them, do it.
Right.
How big of a hurry are you in? Like for real. Like some old lady struggling to change a tire, just get out and change your tire for her. No way it's gonna take you 5 minutes.
Right.
It is. Just do it. And then you can't buy loyalty, you can't buy friends, and you can't buy trust. You gotta earn that shit. You can't buy happiness, but you can buy trucks, and you can't buy peace, but you can give no fucks. I really like that one.
Yeah.
That was all at once, too. It just hit me. And I slapped that one out real quick. And I was like, we got to stop and write that down because I cannot forget that. That was the coolest thing I think I've ever said.
Yeah.
Hollydale, foothills of Missouri where the red fox posts his bail. Backwoods and hollers and barbed wire fence. Ask me if I get down, I'll just plead the fifth. I'll drink a pint of shine, proof 125. Hit the gravel in a Chevy truck, clean bow tie. Find a bale of hay, stare up at the sky. Sunset and stars in the full moonlight. Drive down to the river, get fire lit up. Pull the kayak out from the bed of the truck. Pull the jug lines, grab us some man, he's red. Cast iron fried catfish up in the pan. Light the bonfire just to keep mosquitoes away. Shadows casting on the water in a magical haze. Where the days are lazy when the work ain't hard, but the sweat drip heavy when you get shit done. From the backwood, ain't got no money. Boathouse down, home honey. Bonfires and moonshine running. Chasing dust till dawn. From the creek banks, green fed buddy. Small towns and big dream gunning. Back doors and mud tires humming. Drinking till the bottle's gone. Up from the backwood. Something about a life lived down in the sticks, where the Walmart parking lot's packed with hicks, where you hit the deepest mud hole just for shits and grins, going fishing with a couple of friends, in a tree stand chilling just watching the crops, with a 30-06 steady smoking some pot, and the cornfields packed with whitetail, deep freeze fool working for the light bill. We get down in these old small towns, we drink moonshine, can't afford a bottle of Crown. We ain't got much money, but we got much soul. Never leave no neighbors on the side of the road. You can't buy loyalty, you can't buy friends, can't buy trust, you gotta earn that shit. You can't buy happiness, but you can buy drugs. And you can't buy peace, but you can give no fucks.
Backwood ain't got no money. Boathouse and down, home honey. Bonfires and moonshine.
Yeah, man. Again, check that one out on your streaming platforms. Add it to your favorite playlist and turn it up loud. But yeah, it's definitely a fun one. And I
like how the bass hits in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds good, man. I really came together nicely. And you guys are all working on some new tunes, you and Ryan. And
wouldn't necessarily say new. Definitely never been released before.
Yeah.
Anybody that's came to see us play has probably heard some of them, but we finally get them
right
down to a point where we're comfortable
recording them,
sending them to mastering and stuff. A couple of these songs have been in my head for 11 years, and it's just the right team of people have come together to excuse me, to make it really sound the way that it's supposed to sound. And
yeah.
I've done some recording in the past, but just there was always something very big missing. Now we've got Noah Carrico. He is outstanding. Any chance you get to go and see him play with whoever or whatever he's doing, it is a treat. This is the world's next Jimi Hendrix. He's just super humble, great guy to be around, great values. He's handsome and he shreds.
Yeah. You saying that kind of, I just recently watched the, Wham documentary on Netflix. I don't know if you ever catch that at all, but
from like the UK, like the British guys.
Yep. The, but George Michael, the main who went solo and stuff. But he George had selling a story in there that like that he had this song Careless Whisper and he heard it for years and he like he knew what he wanted and he every time he tried to record it kind of it's very similar to what you were just saying like he could never get it right there was something missing and he ended up like had like an early demo version and he sent it to somebody like a label thing and they were like that song's trash pretty much and he like and he's like you know he said no nah, I think you're wrong I believe in this like song and then eventually he got like he recorded a bunch of different like saxophone solos and stuff for it and finally got the right player to come in and play the saxophone how he heard it all in his years in his head apparently and then all of a sudden like that becomes their
big. It wasn't nothing like the stuff they started with.
Right.
And that's another thing.
But that song ends up being their like biggest hit and everything. It's like, it's just crazy to think that the song had been, so many people told him no about this song. And then finally, you know, he proved them all wrong that this has becomes like this big hit and stuff. And like and everybody, you know, it's like the song that everybody knows from, you know, that kind of thing. So. It's just kind of I think there's something to it about sticking to your guns. Like you believe in the songs that you're, you know, that there's, you know, they may have been around for a while, but there's something, you know, you find the right pieces that of the puzzle and it comes together and that's all you need. So
no, really it's about finding the right team.
Right.
Sometimes like you can have five people play it and they know the song, but one person feels it and they get the message or they get the emotion and then they portray it the right way and it just happens.
Yeah. So we got a big party coming up to celebrate on 420. You are a part of Lit and Lost Canabash at Lost Hill Lake. And along with We Practiced Santeria, our good buddies over there in Tree 14. This is their Sublime tribute. And so come out and have a good time with that. And he said Josh Ballou, right?
Yeah, he's got a pretty voice, man. I like what he's doing. This is a Three Buds production. It is all about the cannabis culture. This is not a frat party. This is a fine dining experience. Yeah, it's gonna be at Lost Hill Lake Events in St. Clair, Missouri on April 20th, 2024. And word in the pipeline, I think we're gonna be releasing a single on that day.
Yeah.
It's a fan favorite. I'd really like to make it happen. If we get enough buzz about it, I think that we can pull it out of the woodwork. But I'd really like to release Get Stoned on 420. I think that would be really cool.
Seems appropriate.
Yeah, and I've been sober since well before Christmas. So maybe we can. Maybe that'll be the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, scoop the mids right there. Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, just chilling at the studio. What are you up to?
Man, I need to come by. I've had a rough day.
You having a bad day?
It's been pretty rough, brother.
Bro, well, come over and get stoned.
Bet.
Hey, man, I'm down here. All right, you got one lit, man. Here, take a hit of this shit. Whew, that got me high.
Called me up. He said that he is having a bad day. Asked if I had a remedy, and I said, of course I do. Why don't you grab your shitty hip my way? come over here with me? Would you like to come over on this door?
Oh yes, I bet you would.
This door.
Oh yes, I bet you would.
Would you like to come over on this door?
Oh yes, I bet you would.
A tree trunk, white owl, look, breaking down, filled with Buddha, lift his stone. Now I'm buzz, smokeable. Now I'm high, smoke mojo. Now I'm stone of the earth. Listen close to every word. I'm hitting a willow, I'm feeling a rush. Smoking that fanny, they call it the gush. Back end of Eddie, my dug out is full. When I am wearing smoke, these was fueling. Past northern lights, and I'm up in the stars. Blue dream, and now we go blast off to Mars. Roll a white widow, I'm stuck in the days. Orange amnesia can't recall the things. And would you like to come over on this door?
Oh yes, I bet you would.
Yes, door.
Oh yes, I bet you would.
Would you like to come over on this door?
Oh yes, I bet you would.
Yes, door.
Background, yeah, but dabba dabba clear. I'm mixing up terms like a dab dog food. Concentrate hard, it's clear to see. It's my head right like THC. I like some real fresh flour, but I feel like a rebel. Diamonds and sauce, like a bowl of fruity pebbles. Call me Little Caesar, cause I'm hot and ready. I took a fat dab, now my lungs are heavy. Q-tips, spotter box, slow, peeping the gleam. Sugar lugging, locomotive, damn ripping machine. Burrowing, I'm banging straight, keeping it stirred. My carburetor whistle like an old T-bird. Cold start, so got me uncomfortably high. Cold press, live res, live up in the sky. Shadow of butter drips, saucy with chunky bits. Turpy and fragrant, got me belligerent. Nectar collecting, parchment and silicon. Get the tip hot and the dabs be dribbling. Percolate a while and be thinking for a better buzz. Rotate it through water, this is Elicus.
Would you like to come over and get stoned?
Oh yes, I bet you would.
Get stoned.
Oh yes, I bet you would.
I said, would
Yeah, man. And you got a couple, you also coming up for Memorial Day weekend. You're another great opportunity to see you solo for this one, but heading down to Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and playing a part of the Strings on Kings Festival, you said, right?
Yeah, Strings on Kings is thrown by a very good friend of mine, Bear. Holler to Eureka Strings. They just put an album out, and if you haven't gotten it, you should get it. I think they might have some vinyls left. It is the Sophia Clark might be the songbird of our generation. I mean, it's like when you pop that vinyl on, it sounds nostalgic. They're just a very grand sound. They hit every aspect of music that you could possibly think of. I mean, it is just very well-rounded. They got Alex Hoff, that handsome devil. I mean, he is just super, super talented. I mean, everybody in the band is just outstanding at what they do. And they're putting on a really great show. Last year I went down there and played with a good friend of mine, Gary Lawrence, the Gary Lawrence Show. If you haven't seen that, you should check that out. It's really good music. Also a fully original artist. I mean, he writes music that'll just make me cry. I think my favorite one that he's got is The Importance of Crying. The first day I met him, I heard him say that or sing that song, and I cried, man. I cried really hard. It was a happy cry.
Yeah.
But it was just, I ask him to play it every time I see him. But yeah, I think they're going to have me do like 3 or 4 late night sets on my loop station. A whole bunch of crazy beatboxing and just really, I'd like to do an interactive experience where I have people just shout out like topics or ask me to tell stories and stuff. I'll get people from out in the crowd to come and make music with me. I'll just like loop a little part of what they're doing and just turn it into like techno music or some kind of like dubstepy sound and stuff. Sometimes it'll just be like crazy weird sounds. It sounds like you're in the woods or in a cave and all these dripping sounds, and I'll call it the organic loop experience.
Yeah, man.
I usually don't use any instruments for it. I usually try to just make whatever happens. There's never a game plan. Nothing's pre-recorded. Sometimes if I'm doing like a particular show, I'll have like 1 or 2 songs that I've been working on that I'll share with people. But for the most part, for those particular sets, I like to keep it completely off the cuff. Just whatever happens, happens. It's really fun for me.
Yeah.
Other people seem to like it. I listen back to it, and I'm like, that's just ridiculous noise. But I don't know. If you get in the right mindset, I'm sure it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen exactly that, but I've definitely seen some friends do some crazy stuff with loops, and like it's a lot of fun to watch somebody build something from nothing, you know. It's like, and build a full you know song right there in front of you and stuff. So but yeah, it's a lot of fun and entertaining. So that sound, what you're describing sounds highly entertaining as well, so I'm excited to check that out.
Now that's all I can think about.
Yeah. Right. Well, speaking of some live, though, we did do a couple little stripped down acoustic jams right here in the living room, and these hopefully, all right, so these are not recorded, but yet, but maybe we might hear them soon. Or is this?
Yeah, Farmer on a Soapbox is really important to me. At some point, it will be released, but it needs to. I need to pay it the amount of respect that I have for my heritage.
Sure,
it really that one means a lot to me. I don't want to just willy nilly that one. So it might be a while before I get to release that to the general public in a studio setting. But I figured I do have people ask about it, and there's not really a good recording of it online yet. So this would be a good spot for them to come and come and hear that one.
Well, thank you for sharing with us.
My granddad's grandpa tended pasture, he raised cattle and cut hay. The truck showed up to haul the milk he harvested each day. He made himself a living off a small parcel of land, and not a day went by without a shovel in his hands. With the shovel in his hand, with the shovel in his hands, he made himself a living with a shovel in his hands. This little piece of land is all he ever truly had, and he raised himself a family with a shovel in his hands. Thank you. granddad came to age helping his grandpa tend the land. Until one day he sold all of the cattle that he had. The industry was changing, small farms just couldn't fend. Thus was the day the family dairy farm came to an end. The pile of tools he left behind gave granddad an idea. He welded them together in a sculpture he did yield. Made himself a living selling nostalgia from back when. And not a day went by without a shovel in his hands. With a shovel in his hands, with a shovel in his hands. He made himself a living with a shovel in his hands. He became an artist and stayed on the family land. And he raised himself a family with a shovel in his hands. Lost our way of life, it was not taken by the man. We traded it away to have a cell phone in our hands. We used to plow the ground to plant the seed and pick the crop. Now a handful does the work and the heart's been nearly lost. You complain about the complex it created every day, but few spare the elbow grease to make it go away. There's something that I the world to fully understand, Well, the only way to fix it with a shovel in your hands. I said the only way to fix it with a shovel in your hands. A shovel in your hands, with a shovel in your hands. I said the only way to fix it with a shovel. Country, buy a little piece of land, plant yourself a garden, and live the best you can. If you don't like the direction that this world is headed in, well, the only way to fix it with a shovel in your hands. I said the only way to fix it with a shovel in your hands. A shovel in your hands, with a shovel in your hands. Say the only way to fix it's with a shovel in your hands.
Daddy's Homegrown Tree is, I don't think anybody's heard that one. That was a fresh one. I still don't even know how to play it yet.
Yeah. So you were, we kind of got a little bit of the story off mic, I think. And so, but you were saying that a friend found a old banjo in a trash can, right? And then it was just like, and said, hey.
My buddy Dino just like hit me up out of the blue, and he has some instrument that he's found. And this time it was like this broken old banjo. And
is this the first time he's done this, or is this like a reoccurring thing? Or
I don't know if it was the first time, but it is definitely reoccurring at this point. Like, he got me a real nice violin that I've got over there now. Yeah. And I'm excited to be learning on that. The other ones I had were like the $50 ones off of Amazon or something. Right. And I figured that that's what he had found, but this is a real a real fiddle. Yeah. It's real nice. And it plays so much better than the other ones. I'm like, no wonder I couldn't learn.
Right.
And but was yeah, it? I took this thing and I was heading out to Derek's house. I think it was the Fool's Yule or the Survivor's Ball or something. And I just decided that this thing needed a makeover. So I took it all apart and made some pieces for it and printed something cool on it and put three strings on it, tuned it to drop D, and started writing music on it. You yeah. can't keep it in tune worth a damn, but it sure is fun.
Yeah, man.
I don't remember what we called it, the Notjo. It's not a banjo.
Notjo.
You can't tune it like a banjo. It doesn't, it won't work.
Yeah.
They say, why you sing by moonshine all the time? Cheapest way to help the day go by. Never messed around with shake and bake. My mama said it'd be a mistake. Just sit around the farm and smoke with me, taking hits off daddy's homegrown tree. Drive around an unregistered car, just cause I don't get along with the law. You won't catch this renegade outlaw. Ma said it's okay if you ain't caught. Dirt road shifting gears and smoking weed, taking hits off daddy's homegrown tree. Magic beans, but he ain't had dark oval striped seeds. Plant them in the woods and they'll get loud. Climb them all the way up to the clouds. Fee-fi-fo from seed to THC, taking hits off daddy's homegrown tree. Taking hits off daddy's homegrown tree.
I just love that stuff though, like the, you know, getting creative like that and coming up with something, making an instrument, you know, like I've become good buds with Ben Miller and Pat Kay. They do
I like those guys,
formerly MK Ultra, now Spook Lights. But Ben like has like a 2x4 with a pickup on it and like plays slide on that, and it's like, you know. And they have like custom, you know, stomp boxes they made and all these things. Like, this is like they got get creative and make their own instruments and stuff. So it's just really entertaining to watch.
It's them. A lot cheaper. It's a lot funner. And nobody else is going to have that
thing. Right. Yeah.
They might have something like it, but that ain't no production model.
Yeah, right.
It's a one of a kind.
Yep.
The world is supposed to be unique.
Yep. I remember Ben used to have this like microphone then in like an old telephone. Like an old phone receiver pickup that he like amplified it and made a microphone out of it and stuff. And so I don't know. It was just stuff like that. You just like, you don't see these like homemade. I've never
really got a chance to sit down and jam with them. I've always wanted to. They get it.
Yeah.
And like I've mic'd up a mason jar.
Yeah.
I've made for Picking on Picnic in 2019. My buddy Adam McGlynn made this instrument for me. It's called the Perkin Stick. You ever play with the Perkin Stick?
No.
You want to?
Yep.
Well, it's just this pickups and this piece of metal. And then there's another piece of metal that goes, that got the strings in it. And the tuning machines are behind the pickup. And I cut this piece of wood on stage and capture the sound of the saw. And then just stretch these strings on it and tune it up and just play this stick. And it's a different stick every time. I got to build this thing every time I use it. You can't just keep it built. You have to make it every single time because it'll only stay tuned for so long. It's just a stick.
Right.
So it's a, when I bust that thing out, it's a special occasion. It's like a very interactive experience. I really want to catch it on fire next time. Like, I just think that would be cool. Or maybe like hit it with a chainsaw while it's plugged in.
Here we go.
I just wonder what that would sound like hearing the chainsaw hit the strings.
Yeah. Was that Jackal that used to do the chainsaw stuff? They actually played a chainsaw on there?
I believe so.
Yeah. Like as an instrument?
Yeah, I had to go a little bit farther. Ryan and I, when we started the Magnificent Mullets of Lonedale, I had been talking about getting a mullet and an IROC Camaro for a couple of months. Everybody's like, do it. So I did it. I never did get the Camaro. My little brother ended up getting it and we never fixed it. I think he sold it. But I got the mullet and it felt so good. I'll never get rid of it. And then my son was born with a mullet. And then my other son was born with a mullet. I'm like, well, this is too good to be true. We're just going to stick with this one. It was supposed to be a joke, but we had two loop stations and we would make a whole new set of music for every single show. Like we never played a song twice. We tried really hard not to. And I don't even know where I was going with this. That was just so much fun doing that with him. And that's where most of the music that we have now came from, was just these spontaneous jam sessions that we had. But oh, I remember. We played these drills. We like put pickups on these drills, and we were like, we built this stand on stage at the Bus Shebang. That's what the name of this show. It was pretty cool, man. And it was so obnoxious. Like the drill that I had practiced with, I could get all these different tones and stuff out of it, and it was like a DeWalt. And we didn't charge the batteries, and we had used it for something earlier in the day. Well, as soon as I went to pull the trigger, battery's dead. Pop a new battery in, battery's dead. So buddy Chad comes up and he's like, here, use this rigid. Well, rigids are mean, right? And it's just got one gear and it's balls to the wall. There was like one squelching loud thing. So I'm building this whole thing and we looking at each other like, well, we can't stop. No, we have to build the thing because that's where we put all of our stuff at to make the music, was on this stand. We had it all planned out. And I'd really like to get redemption on playing the drill, because we had some cool routines down with that thing.
Yeah.
Reciprocating saws sound cool too.
Yeah.
You know what, the cake pan thing where you spin the cake, so then they put it on the little turntable and then they can get it perfectly smooth
for icing and stuff.
I one of those showed up at my doorstep one day with my address on it, no name on it, and it was from Amazon. It had to have been delivered to the wrong place, but I was like, hey Amazon, what's up with this? And they're like, it was supposed to be delivered to you. I'm like, so if somebody's out there and they sent me this thing, thanks. I don't know why you gave it to me, but I was picking it up, trying to figure out what it was, and I dropped it on the ground. And I realized when it hit the ground, it was made out of like real sturdy metal, and it made this crazy cool sound. And you'd smack it, and it'd make this cool ring, but then you could spin it, and the different speeds that you'd spin it would change the frequencies that you're going, and then you can like turn it sideways. I ended up like suspending it from a guitar string. You could play the guitar string, and then as it was spinning, it would make these crazy sounds.
Yeah.
And I did like this whole intro at one of the Survivor's Balls or something, the Fool's Yule or something for that. And I think that one actually ended up on YouTube. That was a really cool intro piece that I made with that cake pan. I don't even know what it is. A cake turned to a lazy cake Susan.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I don't know what the official name is on those things, but
if there's a sound out there, I want to hear it.
Yeah.
I've always done the little sitting in the corner making the I'm like, I just want to hear the weird sounds. Sure. Always, they thought I had Tourette's. Turns out I'm just like autistic or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering about the beatboxes that just kind of started as a kid or whatever, like just making noises. And
it was literally just making noises. Yeah. It wasn't making noises to me, but I'm sure to everybody else around me. Like I had some kind of intention to it always. I didn't realize that I was like practicing.
Right.
But I've always enjoyed making noises. I think I just like being annoying. I think I'm finally coming to terms with that. Like, that's like my sense of humor with my friends is I'll just do something that they think is annoying and they've expressed to me that they think it's annoying and like it just gets a rise out of them. So I'll just do it. Yeah. I try not to go overboard with it nowadays, but like it's fun. It's fun to like push people's buttons every once in a while.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Now I just pretty much, you know, annoy my wife. Like that's what I told her tonight. I said, what would you do without me annoying you, you know? On a regular basis.
Be at peace. Right. I'd get some sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely get the old butt chewing for the old, I got this one thing and he says, well, I think this, I say, well, you know what happened to think? And he thought he had to fart and he shit his pants. My buddy Lewis's meemaw used to say that all the time.
Yeah.
The Paw Mall Blue 100 hanging out of her mouth. She's like 96 years old. She's like, you know what happened to Fink? Like, he thought he had to fight and he shit his pants. It's like, I'll say it anytime she said, she's like, shut up. I'm tired of hearing it. She's like, I'll say it two or three times a day, but it makes me think Meemaw. I'm not going to stop saying it.
Yeah. Shout out to Meemaw.
Yeah. That old G ride. I don't even remember what that was. Like a New Yorker. Something was all white, had like the leather top on it, like that nice royal blue plush interior that was all like suede. And we drove that thing around for years. It was so cool.
Yeah. What, as I'm even talking about like a noise that you, I don't know, I was at Gramophone one night and I saw this group, Tyler Bryant and the Shakedown there. And they, well, you know, it was like good rock and roll, classic rock and roll kind of stuff. They toured, with ZZ Top and Jeff Beck and all these, and actually, Graham Whitford's in the band whose dad is Brad Whitford from Aerosmith. So that helped out. But they were kind of raised on that rock and roll and they, Caleb, their drummer, like jumped off stage, that show and like took his drumsticks and just starts playing everything, the tables, the stools, the, you know, the floor. And like, he's just kind of finding things like, and you'd watch him like, you know, like, oh, that sounds cool. And then comes back to, you know, he's playing a beat on that. And like, and, I don't know. It was just really like fun to watch, especially something like that, that was like completely improvised, you know, and like, you could tell he was just playing around with the sounds in the room and seeing what sounded cool. And then like, all right, let's stick with that and like, and see what I can do with that. And, so it's something like that. Like I think is, you know, when it becomes like, you can watch their mind work and like, you know, it's entertaining. And as well as they're trying to, they're still like discovering all these different sounds and how to, you know, like you're saying, also about the drill and everything else, like, oh, this, like if I do this though, it makes this sound or I can,
And I think it's, I don't know if it works like this for everybody, but like the best stuff comes when you don't think.
Right.
Like when I'm freestyle rapping, I'll just like put any beat off of YouTube on and just start talking and like the third or fourth one and it starts feeling real good. Cause if you try to like think about what you want to say then you start getting caught up when it doesn't get its way there. It's like a conversation, you know, if you try to force it, it doesn't really, it never really goes the way that you want it to. And then if you're just like having a casual conversation, it goes somewhere beautiful. You learn something, you get to know somebody better. And music's a lot like that. If you like free it up and you get rid of the intention, like really cool stuff will happen. My buddies, Wes, Charles, and I used to go around and we would like experiment with psychedelics and go to these parties and we'd find ourselves in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And as soon as we'd get in the kitchen, we all look at each other and we start like opening and slamming the cabinets, pushing the buttons on the microwave, playing the silverware and the sink. A stainless steel sink is awesome. You can make great sounds with a stainless steel sink. And it would just turn into a jam session. There was no instruments. Right. It was just whatever was in the kitchen turned into the instrument. And then you get people that never even knew that they were musicians and they're keeping time, making something in. And then you see them a couple years later and now they're playing guitar and they've got a voice of their own and stuff. And like, there is this little bar called the Dubolt Inn in Catawissa, Missouri. And on Monday nights, there was an open mic. And when I first went there, there was just like a couple people and it was a good time. But then it started really growing into this thing. It turned into like church. Like you get somebody and you'd find out that they like experimented playing guitar and you just encourage them. Everybody was so encouraging that eventually after going to the after parties and getting to know everybody, they felt comfortable getting up on there and they'd practice all week and then get up there and they'd start singing the song that they wrote. And then everybody would learn the words to their song. And the next time they got up there, they've got the whole crowd singing. Well, the max capacity of this bar was 44. And we had well over 100 people in there a couple times. Like the fire marshal showed up on several occasions, was like, you got to move these cars. Some of you have to leave. This isn't cool. But it was nobody wanted to miss a Monday night at the Dubolt because it just turned into every single person there was supporting each other. And some of them, this was the only place that they ever felt comfortable singing in front of people. And there was a bunch of strangers there. Right. And like now, I know several, like Dom Knott, you know Dominic Knott?
I don't think so.
He plays a saxophone and like, I don't know. He seemed real shy when I met him, but man, he has turned into a musician. Like yeah. He is good at what he does. And like just a lot of that growth for me as well came from those environments where there was no like, hey, we're going to play this song, everybody learned this song. It was just like, we're gonna do whatever feels right and everybody's gonna be supportive of it, and just beauty comes out of the world when that's your mindset. This I want to see what you can do when you're happy, when you're comfortable, whatever comes out of your mind. I don't want to influence it. I just want to be there with you and experience it, and then we can make this thing together. And that's, it's easy to lose because the world gets crazy and you start getting ideas and you get hard set on them. Like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want it to sound like. And sure, there's going to be songs that you write where like, there's a lot of intention behind it. But like we were talking with Backwoods, like we didn't know what we were making. Right. It just like, it happens. Like the best music in the world has to have just came from a moment in time. It just hits you. Like I've got this song called Drink Me Dry. It was right about the time that the Dubolt was happening. I had this dream that I wrote this song and it really became something. I woke up and was just like, oh my God, I need a pen and paper right now. And I wrote that whole song down. It came out of a dream.
Yeah.
I didn't have to like sit there and think about it and write it. It's the only one I think that's ever happened. And maybe parts of another song did, but like that whole song was just like my subconscious. I was just in that zone for so long that that's what my dreams had become, these jam sessions. And unfortunately, I don't think that I'll ever, at least anytime soon, be able to get back into the groove like that, because I really like what my life is right now. I like to spend as much time with the kids as possible. And
yeah,
eventually they're going to pick the instruments up a little bit more.
Yeah, I was going to say, do they play at all, or have they expressed interest in it at all or anything?
It takes a special kind of choreography to really get them to do what you want them to do and to be interested in it.
Right.
Like Cohen will come in and be like, hey, how does electricity work? And we'll go online and watch these videos together. I'll explain it to him. And then I could see something like, well, we need visual aid. Well, I was actually wrong my whole life. I always thought that electricity was like you push an electron into an atom and it knocks the electron off of that one because only so many can be on it. And it just like a chain reaction. And I thought that electricity was literally electrons moving. But that's not even actually what it is. It's like it makes an electromagnetic field around the entire system. And that electromagnetic field is the electricity. So like when a motor's turning, it's not burning off electrons. It's releasing the energy of you having moved that magnet however far away. It's just this magnet moving makes the energy that has to be expelled somewhere. And if it doesn't get turned into another magnet, it just sparks off into the atmosphere and like zeros out somewhere. And that was very, very contrary to what I thought. And so I got to learn that with my 6-year-old.
All right.
Because he's like, Dad, I don't know. That's not making sense. And I'm like, sure it does, doesn't it? Like, he's so curious.
Yeah.
He'll, like, hey, Alexa. We got one of those Gen 3 Echoes at my mom's house. And he will just go up and start asking that thing questions. Like, crazy questions. How do volcanoes work? Why is there lava underground? Why is it getting pushed up? Like, why does it rain? He's like, you know, the sun makes rain. We're like, that's not how that works. Actually, it does. It literally does. He was right. And like, to think that his tiny little brain has these giant ideas and this tremendous curiosity, like, and it's like hard to handle. I feel so bad for my mom. Because I was like to the max everything my son is. And, but I had less direction. Like I was just like, he can actually sit and do something. I couldn't, like, it was really hard for me to hyperfixate on something. He's really good at it. And when I would, it was really hard to steer me off of it. And like, I feel like he's got a better head start on it. So I would really like to see him catch the music before I did. Because I don't think I really started playing until I was like 16. Like I took a guitar class in a senior year. Because for some reason I couldn't play. I can play all kinds of like one string wonders and stuff. But for some reason I was just like, I was looking up tabs and stuff. I'm like, how do you play all the strings at once? And I was just like reading it backwards or something. I guess like some kind of dyslexic. It wasn't making any sense to me. And the very first day, Miss Gonzalez is like, this is how you play an E chord. And I guess I just never really paid attention to somebody enough to be like, oh, I'm going to actually watch what you're doing. I was just like, oh yeah, now I'm going to do it. And like, I was like, wait, how'd you do that? And it was like never clicking, but it clicked that first day. And I was like, oh, I feel dumb. Now this makes so much sense. So she just let us have the soundproof room. And we would go in there and we would just do whatever we wanted. We just locked the door. Like we would be like, hey, yeah, I know we're supposed to be in math class, but we've got this other class that we need to go practice for and stuff. And we just go to the soundproof room for like 5 hours a day. And like, we'd have a boombox in there and like one of our buddies like made some beats on Fruity Loops or something and like burned it onto a CD. So we had like these 8 tracks and we wrote like several songs to each one and we would all do that. And we'd have like these jam sessions that would last all day. And that was the entirety of senior year. I probably should have applied myself more, but I think it turned into something at least.
Right.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I think man, I'm having fun. I enjoy what you're doing, and I'm excited to see what else is still to come with.
Oh, you asked me what got me into music. That's where that whole thing stemmed from.
Yeah, right.
So C.C. Winchester, he's known me since I was in my mama's belly. He used to carry me around in a pumpkin seat, but he would play guitar into her belly while she was pregnant. And I must have been like 8 years old, and my uncle, who was just like Pantera this, Metallica that, was, he brought me to my first concerts and everything too. He brought me to see like, might have been like Mudvayne. I saw Job for a Cowboy, Cannibal Corpse. He's brought me to Slayer, Maryland. We actually left during Marilyn Manson because Slayer killed it, and we were like, we need to get out while the traffic's good.
All right.
He gave me my first electric guitar when I was real young. You ever see Fooly Cooly?
No.
It's like this anime from when we were kids. It's like this woman falls from the sky and she's got this guitar that she'll just like beat everything up with. So I was like, this guitar is a weapon. That's like, that was like the most I'd seen a guitar was on this anime where they're just like smashing stuff with guitars. And then one day I just like learned how to play Smoke on the Water.
Game over.
I was like, oh dude, I can actually make music with this thing. That's how this works. And it really did blossom into something. I'm not really sure exactly when it happened, but at some point I made a song and then I made another one.
Yeah.
I remember I thought I was going to be a rapper. Excuse me. Before I even knew how to play guitar, I'd make like these little like Kellogg in like Campbell's Soup commercial things, but I'd like change all the words and stuff.
Right.
And like I had a computer that ran like Windows 94, and the media player on it was real loose, man. You could like speed up anything or slow it down. So I think my mom got me like Fergalicious, Akon Convict, and Eminem Curtain Show for Christmas one year. And I learned all the words to them, and I could like speed it up times three and spit all the raps in times three. It was like a vocal exercise for me. And, but I never really felt like I could sing. Actually, I can remember vividly the moment that I realized that I could sing. I was with Wes and Charles, and we were in like Hillsboro or something at some party, and we were jamming out, and I just started singing, but I like finally belted my voice once I put some emotion into it, and I got goosebumps all over me. I'm like, oh wow, this is like I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be really singing and like portraying these emotions that these words are about with my voice. And like when that finally clicked, I was like, game over. Like, this is what I want to do. This is the best feeling in the world. There's not a drug that gives you that release of endorphins. It's something special. And it's something that you get to share with somebody. It's something positive that you get to do with the world if you do it right. I mean, I'm sure there's a way to negatively influence people with music. I see it happen all the time.
Yeah.
But
I heard this guy was saying like kind of also a similar thing, talking about like making beats as a, you know, and even record like his first song using like his rock band microphone or whatever. And like,
I think that might've been what I was using.
Yeah. And like, so it was garbage at the, you know, as you reflect on it, but that moment of creating something for the very first time. And like, this is like, you know, just like the idea of like playing back your own voice on these songs and stuff. And like thinking like, this is the coolest thing. And like, but he talked about how like, even today, like as everything's progressed as far as the skills and things, but you're still chasing that feeling of what that first was like, you know, like you're saying, like those, that high of like this.
Yeah. If there's something that people that are listening to this out there really get, the first time that you have that jam session and you're like, oh, this feels good to make this music, it doesn't get better. You get better, but like, you're doing something meaningful, even if nobody else thinks it's cool, or if you like, you've got this judgment about yourself, like what you're doing matters to you. And that's the only reason to do it. Right. If you end up being a positive influence in other people's lives, that's awesome. But do it for you. Do it for the release of stress. Do it for the curing of anxiety, the pull yourself out of depression, the motivate yourself to progress in your life. Like whatever this music is for you, just do it because it makes you feel good.
Yeah, man.
That's what I mean. I don't play, but I, you know, listening. That's why I continue to do it, man. I keep chasing that. You know, I there's music out there. There's, you know, there's the ones that hit the feels and make me, you know, make me cry, and then there's the ones that make me want to party, and you know, it just like it makes me feel alive. You know,
that's, well, it's the devil's magic.
Yeah. Yep. Shout out.
Shout out.
My homeboy. but yeah, man, that, this has been incredible, man. I'm really glad we did this, Cody. You can find Magnificent Mullets of Lonedale on your Facebook and Instagram and all your streaming platforms, and catch Cody live on April 20th at Lost Hill Lake in events for the, big festival out there.
The old Lit and Lost Cannabash.
Yeah.
That is a Three Buds Productions.
And then like in that, if you're in the, Eureka Springs, Arkansas area, Memorial Day weekend, make your way to Strings on Kings.
We're also going to be closing down Picking on Picnic 2024. Make sure to get those tickets now before they're sold out, because yeah, they're going pretty quick this year.
Yeah, man. But yeah, buddy, I appreciate you doing this. This was a real treat, and let's do it again soon.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Cody. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.